I need your prayers this morning. I've never gotten up here and not desired your prayers, because this is God's work. Some years ago, there in Fresno, one of the sisters in our congregation, she's not with us anymore, she passed me a note. I want to read that to you. It said, "Brother Rich, the church is not a gallery for the exhibition of eminent Christians, but a school for the education of the imperfect ones, a nursery for the care of the weak ones, and a hospital for the healing of those who need assiduous care. Assiduous means done with constant and careful attention, diligence, and persevering." And I thought, that's the definition of the church. And it is. Sister Trudy's little testimony about the losing of her wallet. If I lost my wallet, the same thing. Just about everything I've got, the real importance is in that wallet. But she said there's a piece that she has. What I want to talk to us this morning is about the joy and the peace in serving God. Can I tell you this morning that I'm happy? And I want every one of you to be happy. Though you may be going through trials of sickness, of financial hardship, whatever it may be, God has got a joy for us no matter what it is. In one place it says, a rest for the soul. This morning I want to tell you that I'm happy. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to look out at the faces of those that I know and those that I don't know. It means something. Have you ever had your heart jump within your chest? When you see the saints, you just get happy. I don't know how else to explain it. But I'm not just happy when I'm here. I'm happy when I'm at home. I'm happy when I'm all alone because God is with me. And that's enough to put a joy in my heart and in the depths of my soul, because he has satisfied me. Satisfied me with something that he has done when he saved my soul. He put within me a real joy and a real peace. I think of some of the things that I've gone through, some of the testing and thinking about the trials that we go through. With every trial we go, it's really a temptation, isn't it? Because we have a choice on how we're going to go through it. How do we choose to go through this? Am I going to lean on my own understanding? Am I going to do it man's way? Or am I going to do it God's way? Those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. Lord, help us to do it your way. Because in it, I have found such a joy and such a peace. I have found glory in doing it God's way. Dear ones, God has done some things for me. I tell them at home, I said, if I told you my life story, where God found me and what he brought me out of, what he delivered me from, you wouldn't probably want to hear me. Now, some of you know some of my background, the things I've done, but what I want to tell you is God is able to deliver you no matter how hard, no matter how deep in sin that you have gotten, God has got deliverance for us. And that makes me happy. That gives me a joy every single day. And I look at things that sometimes that we go through and I think, whoa, that's hard. But my mindset has turned from the way I used to see things, and now I look at things as an opportunity for God. Every day is a new opportunity for God to show his greatness on our behalf. These trials, he said, this losing of Sister Wallet, the Lord, he has a way of just taking care of things, making it okay. You know, I remember as a young boy, sometimes things would happen, and Mom would always say, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Well, now my spirit says, it'll be okay. Just trust in me. It'll be all right. God has got it all in control. I look at the world that we live in and the things that are going on. They can take you down if you let them. They will. They can make you sad. They can take you down. You can be despondent, vexed. But God has got a joy beyond that. That no matter what it is, you can be happy knowing that God has got it all in control. Do you believe that? So I'm going to ask you the question this morning. Are you happy? Oftentimes I meet people and that's what I ask them. Are you happy? Are you satisfied with your life? If they tell me I'm happy and I am so satisfied, I know that I can't really offer them much. But for those that are not happy and for those that are not satisfied, I got a Jesus for you to meet. He'll make you happy. He'll put a smile on your face. You know, sometimes I look at the saints and I say, how come they're not smiling? Aren't you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Then can't you be happy? There's happiness. The Bible says the joy in the service of the Lord. Happiness. A mindset to know that God is with me no matter what. And through it, I can be happy. Oh, dear ones, it's a burden upon my heart. I see too many people that aren't happy and they're not satisfied. But when I found Christ, he changed that about me, and he can do it for you. There's no reason that we have to go through life with that long face with sorrow. There is happiness in knowing Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Thank the Lord. Is it okay if I'm happy? Is it okay that I can be joyful? I hear this thing in my heart. Sometimes I'm sorrowful to hear some of the things that you tell me, some of the things you're going through. But through it all, there's still a joy. I still have a joy knowing that I can pray to God and he's going to hear and he's beginning to deal. He can deal on your behalf and on my behalf. And for this, I'm always have that joy. Now, I want to share some scriptures with you. Turn with me, please, to Psalms, the fifth chapter. Psalms, the fifth chapter, in the 11th verse. It says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. I've got a one-word explanation next to my little notes here on the scripture. And it's defendest. God can defend us. No matter what the devil throws our way, God will defend us. That makes me happy. That gives me a joy in knowing that there's somebody on my side that is more powerful than any other power that can be that's known. He's surely more powerful than the devil, is he not? And it says here that he defendest them. Let them that love thy name be joyful in thee. Dear ones, we're to be joyful. Let me read again. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Can you rejoice this morning? This is the first service, right, of this meeting. I'd like to see us go into this meeting with a joy and a peace in our hearts and our souls. Turn with me, please, to the 21st Psalms. Psalm 21:1 says, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. And in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. You know what I love about this salvation? As I look into the Word of God and I look at the old Judea, the Jewish religion, it was mainly for the rich. It was a rich man's religion. But this religion is a poor man's religion. And the middle class, and the rich. God is no respecter of persons. I look at this scripture, this is King David, is it not? The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. King David found strength in the Lord. He found joy because of that strength. A joy that he can have every single day. And in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. In that salvation, a poor man's salvation. Back to the Jews, it was a rich man's salvation. But when John sent his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you the one or do we look for another? Do you remember the answer that Jesus told him to go back and tell John? He said, go back and tell John that the poor have the gospel preached to them. Oh, he said some other things too. But my point is, this salvation is for each and every one of us. And the joy that the king could find, we can find also. And no matter what state that we're in, if we have that salvation experience, isn't that beautiful? I take joy in knowing that, and I read these scriptures and I say, yes, my heart witnesses with that. I know what the king felt, though he may have been in his temple, surrounded by all his mighty men, yet I'm all alone in my little place of and in it I find that same joy. Thank God. The 27th chapter. And the 6th verse. It says, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Why? Because he lifts me above my enemies. Who's your enemy? First and foremost, it's the devil. We don't fight against flesh and blood, do we? But against principalities and against powers in high places. But God can lift up above those things. And because of that, I can sing joyful songs to him. I can praise him with the sacrifice of my lips. You know, dear ones, when people come in amongst us at the church, what are they looking for? What are they looking for? I hear somebody over here. What's that?
I said the absence of turmoil.
The absence of turmoil. And what is the absence of turmoil?
Peace.
That's right. You know, I didn't go looking for God. He came looking for me. And I think that most of us have that testimony. We love God because he first loved us. I didn't go looking for him. He came looking for me. He said, I've got something for you. I had no clue what it was. But after he saved my soul and he filled me with that peace and that joy, then I knew what he had, not just for me, but for every one of us. To be joyful. The sacrifices, it says, of joy. People come in amongst us, they're looking for something that they can't find out in that world. We're not going to entertain them, are we? We can't compete with the entertainment of the world. But we have something that the world doesn't have. We have the Holy Ghost. There was a brother that came to me one time. He says, You people, Evening Light Saints of God is who he was talking about. He said, I can't get away from you. I've tried. I've gone this place and that place, but I keep coming back because you've got something that nobody else has. He didn't know what it was. You know what it was? It's the Holy Ghost. And because we have the Holy Ghost, we have peace and we have joy. We have something that the world can't offer. We have something that the religious world can't offer unless they have the truth and the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm happy. I'm happy. I told you the last time I came here as I was getting closer to Monarch. The closer I got, the more excited I got. I just was getting excited. For what? I was going to find a treasure that I couldn't find anywhere else. I was going to find the children of God. And what do I find into the midst of the children of God? I find God. Because if you bring your God and I bring my God, we'll have a lot of God here, won't we? And with that, a joy and a peace that the world cannot offer. 32nd chapter. In the 11th verse. It says, be glad in the Lord. Are you glad? Are you glad? Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Shout for joy. I remember I'd only been saved just a few days. I was working in a sawmill many miles out in the hills. I had to go through farms and ranches to get to my place to work. And I was driving along, and I got so joyful, and it just came over me, and I just had to pull over my car, get out of my car, jump a little bit, shout a little bit, and then I got back in my car. You know what happened? I had something within me that I couldn't contain anymore. I had to let it out. So I stopped my car, and I let it out. There was nobody in sight. Out there on those dark country roads, not another car. I thought if somebody saved me right now, they'd think I'd lost my mind. And you know I had. If they'd asked me that, I'd have told them, yes, I had. I got something far better than that old mind I used to have. He gave me a new mind and a new heart and a peace and joy that I couldn't find out there in the world. Jesus will give you that. Isn't that something? You know, it's okay to jump and shout, isn't it? I remember one older sister. Sister Sheehy there in Pacoima, she'd get happy. She'd sit over there on that side there, and she'd get happy, and she'd get up, and she'd just walk. And she'd walk, and then she'd go sit down. She told me, she said, I can't run anymore, and I can't jump anymore. She said, but I can walk. She had to let it out. She had to let it out. I remember right back here, you know, I'm looking, we're losing so many of our old saints. I tell you, my heart's heavy, but at the same time, I'm rejoicing. They're going to a place that I'm trying to get to. And I'm thinking, a sister and I used to sit right back here. And I used to sit right behind her. And she'd be sitting there, and all of a sudden, I hear her go, whoo, whoo. And I told my wife, I said, she's just about to blow. Next thing, she'd be up. And she'd stand up, walk a little bit, then she'd start exhorting us. She'd start laying it down for us. And then she'd sit right back down. I thought, amen. What'd she have? She had a joy that she couldn't contain. She had to shout for joy. Isn't that beautiful? We can have that. We can have that. Now, not everybody's a shouter. Not everybody's a jumper or leaper. I've seen some just sit there and cry. That's okay. However, God through the Spirit deals with you because you have a different personality than I am. One brother told me, he said, brother, it's your emotional. Yeah, I guess I am. I can cry sometimes at the drop of a hat, but that's okay. When I was just a boy, my brother said, boys don't cry. Men don't cry. And he was right. I held it in. All I could until the Lord saved my soul. I couldn't hold it anymore. I could just cry. Just cry. Why? Because Job said, he softeneth my heart. And in my tears are tears of joy and gratitude, thankfulness. Oh, praise God. 35th chapter and the 27th verse. Let them that shout for joy be glad and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Prosperity. The Lord has promised to give us those things that we need. Not necessarily the things that we want, but the things that we need. And sometimes he'll go and give us the things that we desire. prosperity. I'm thinking about the testimonies of different ones. I think it was old brother Mark Sammons. He invited my wife and I to move to West Virginia. Come on to West Virginia. He's telling me how good the deer hunting was. He said, you got to watch out when you drive around. You might be able to run into them. I said, well, what's in West Virginia? And I don't remember. He's the one that told me. Somebody had said, everybody finds a job. You go to West Virginia, you look around, there's nothing there. Yet, everybody that moves there, that God has sent, finds a job. And I have used that story to our young people there in Fresno. And I tell them, God has got a way for you. You need a job? He's got a job for you. God will make a way because he cares about the prosperity of his servants. Isn't that what this scripture is telling us? And because of that, I find great joy in knowing the scripture and great joy in that I have seen this take place time and time again. Let me tell you a story. Right there in Fresno, we had a young man, a wife and children. I say young, he's really not young. But he didn't like to work. His wife worked full time and she supported the family. And we would meet every Sunday. We would meet a half an hour before service and we would pray for unsaved companions. That was the burden. Let's meet for half an hour and let's pray for unsaved companions. While we've been praying and those unsaved companions have been dropping like flies, they've been giving their hearts to the Lord. We still have a few to pray for and we're going to continue to pray. But I can't tell you how many have been saved. And this young man I'm talking about, he gave his heart to the Lord. He got saved. And you know what the Lord did? He gave him a job. He gave him a job. He goes to work, comes home beat. He told me, he says, my muscles are aching. I'm so tired. But the whole time he said he's got a smile on his face. Why? Because he's in the plan of God. Now he is supporting his family. And you know what happened recently? He bought a house. God cares about the prosperity of his servants. And I take joy in that knowledge that this young man who didn't want to work, got saved, went to work, and now has bought a house. Now what is that? That's prosperity, isn't it? But God's word tells us he cares about us. He'll supply our needs if we'll but live for him and give our hearts to him. And to be able to say, I come home, I'm so tired, I just hurt all over. And he's got a big smile on his face. The Lord wants to put a smile on our face. Oh, Lord, help us. 51st chapter. And the 12th verse. It says, restore unto me. Now the psalmist is writing, restore. I had it, but I've lost it. I used to possess it, but it's not here anymore. I need it restored. So he's praying. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Dear ones, there's joy in the service of the Master. In that salvation, I found joy. Dear ones, we can lose our joy. We can. We can give it up. We can let things weigh us down and tear us down into a point where we think it's too much. You know, I told the saints at home recently, I said, you know something? If I wasn't happy in my salvation experience, if I didn't have this joy, this satisfaction to my soul, I would leave. Now that sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, I have found something that won't let me leave. There's a peace and joy and a satisfaction that I have that holds me. It restrains me. It keeps me. the Lord has healed me of cancer. He healed me of a stroke. I was at Pacoima when that stroke took place. My wife said my eyes were open, but I was gone. She couldn't get anything out of me. She was praying, and there was others praying. When the Lord brought me back and I opened up my eyes, I still couldn't move and I couldn't speak. But I could see eight sisters, no brothers, eight sisters praying over me. And I thought, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And God brought me up. And then I was able to communicate. Slow. But as I began to talk and make sense, and the Lord brought me up and out. And because of that, I have a joy that no one can take from me. Because I know what God can, will, and has done for me, and He can do it for you. All these things that the Word of God promises, they're for you and I to lay claim to. But it starts with joy. It starts with peace and love, and it magnifies from there. I ask you that question again. Are you happy this morning? Restore. Restore. If you've lost your joy, you can ask God to restore it. If you've lost your peace, you can ask God to restore it. Oh, He's a restorer, isn't He? If you've lost your love, He can restore it. Praise God. Let's go to Luke. Am I running out of time? What's that? Not yet? All right, Lord bless. Luke, the 6th chapter. Luke, the 6th chapter. I want to begin at the 22nd verse. It says, blessed are ye. What does the word blessed mean? It means happy, doesn't it? Happy. Happy are ye that hunger now. Oops, excuse me. Blessed are ye. Where did I've lost my place. There we are, the 22nd. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. You know something? Let's go back to that 21st. I like that. Happy are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. We can have that. Blessed or happy are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast you out and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. To think about that. When people talk bad about you and willing to cast you out, and you're to rejoice. You know, the Lord showed me, I hadn't been saved very long, and the Lord showed me a very valuable lesson. And that is that He can have men think of us whatever He desires. If He wants them to think bad of us, they're going to think bad. If He wants them to think good of us, then they'll think good. God can do that. You can be just as pleasant and as nice to people as you want, and some people are just not going to accept you. That's the way it is. But as long as God accepts you, Lord help us. It says, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Dear ones, are you willing to stand this way if you're the last man standing? Lord, help us. I think that's a question that didn't just come to me, But I think it sooner or later it's going to come to every one of God's people. Are you willing to walk this way if you walk alone? I remember one brother told me, he said that he asked his young wife. He went to her, he said, honey, he said, if I decide to go back into sin, are you going with me? You know what her answer was? She said, if you go, you're going alone. I'm not going with you. He said, that's the answer I wanted to hear. That's the answer I wanted. He didn't want to be alone. But dear ones, the point is, would you be willing to be alone? And God came to me and asked me that question. Are you willing to be alone, the last man? Yes, Lord, I'm willing to be the last. Well, it's okay, you're not going to be the last. I'll always have a remnant. The Bible says it's true. But sometimes we seem like we're all alone, but we're never all alone. The Lord is always there with us. And for that, I take great joy. Great joy. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full. Ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did they, their fathers, unto the false prophets. Talking about the unsaved and unto the false prophet. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Now what I'm about to read, you're not going to find in the world. It's not there. When it says, but I say unto you which hear, in red, this is Christ. Christ teaching. Love your enemies. What's it going to take to love your enemies? A love that the world can't teach us, but God can. When he gets a hold of our heart and gets a hold of our mind and he begins to work and change who we are, we can love our enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy cloak also, thy coat also. I never heard that growing up. I never heard it growing up. But there's something in all this. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. Oh my, what a change. What a change. Let's go to John, the 15th chapter. And I want to start the 10th verse. And this ties in with what I just read. But if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Dear ones, I think we've hit on something here. This joy that I'm talking about, what's it take? It says, keep my commandments. In other words, I want to know the doctrines of Jesus Christ. I want to know the plan he has for my life. And I want you to know the plan he has for your life. It's different than my plan. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. But it says here, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. That joy comes from Christ. That's the joy we want, and we want to keep it. But it comes from keeping the commandments. You know, I had a saying. I didn't have it here, but it talks about Obedience. Joy and peace, they come because of obedience. Obedience unto God. To live what he has called you to live. That my joy might be made in you and that your joy might be full. And this is thy commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. To lay down your life here, do you think this is the temporal life? Christ is saying this, and he laid down his very life, didn't he? I believe it's talking about that, but it goes beyond that. Will you lay down your emotional life, your spiritual life? Will you give up the world that others may see an example of where the peace and the joy comes from? People today don't want to give up the world. They want to hold on to God with this hand and the world with this hand. Dear ones, that'll tear you apart. It'll tear you apart. Or God's going to let go and you can go your way. But when you go, you leave that joy behind. You leave that peace behind. And that's my burden this morning. To be full of the joy that Christ has to give each and every one of us. Not just a little, but to be full. To be full of that peace. Praise God. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I hear of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask in my Father's name, he may give it you. Another promise. Lord, help me to live according to the plan that you have made for my life, that I might bring forth fruit, and that my joy might be full. We've hit on something here. It's a promise of God for you and for me. And we can have it. Praise God. Turn with me to Romans. Romans, the 14th chapter. And a 17th verse. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That peace and that joy that we find nowhere else but in the Holy Ghost. Couldn't find it out in the world. I looked. But then the Lord saved my soul and he filled me with peace and with joy. Do I still have it today? I'm happy. I'm at peace and I have joy. Oh, do I have my ups and downs? Sure I do. But through it all, I have peace and I have joy. Galatians. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The very three, I don't know if he's put these in the importance. If he put them in an order of the importance of what they are. But as I look at it, I would say, yes, this is the order. First of all, love. And then peace. And then joy. The fruit of the Spirit. Then long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Once again, those things you can't find out in the world, but you can find them in the salvation experience. Oh, praise God. few more scriptures and I'll be done. Turn with me back again to Psalms 32nd chapter and the first verse. It says happy, blessed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, I've probably told you this story, but let me tell it to you again. When I was a little boy, my mom taught me how to pray. And she told me there was a time coming that it was going to be the judgment bar of God. That Christ was going to break through the clouds and he was going to judge each and every one of us. He was going to open up his book and he was going to read my name, Brian Rich. And he was going to read everything that ever I had done. You know, as a child, that scared me. Already, as just a little child, it scared me. I'd already done way too many things that I didn't want anybody to know about. I didn't want my father to know, my mother, my brothers, sisters, my aunts, uncles, my cousins, and all my friends. I didn't want anybody to know. What can I do to go before Jesus and all the world looking on and him read all the things that I had done, sinful and terrible things? But then in the scripture it says, some men's sins go before to judgment and some men's sins come after. Mine ain't following me anymore. Salvation has erased behind my name everything that I had done. It's been thrown into the depths of the ocean. It's gone. I don't fear the judgment bar. I'm looking for it. I'm praying for it. I hasten its coming and pray for it. I had one sister tell me, oh no, Brother Rich, you don't want to pray the Lord to come because there's still lots of people need to be saved. And I said, yeah, there's a lot of people that will backslide too. You know something, maybe I'm being selfish, but I want the Lord to come. I want him to come when I'm standing where I need to stand, when I'm living the way I should be living. That the Lord can say, enter into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. I don't worry about the judgment anymore. It's over. It's done. And oh, how happy I am. 34th chapter and the 8th verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him. I found it so, dear ones. I have found it so. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse. It said, blessed or happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's a promise. Lord, I'm seeking after you. I want to know your will. I want to know your character. I want to know your attributes. I want to be like Christ Jesus. When people look at me, I want to realize he's been with Christ. Ignorant, unlearned man. But there's something different. I remember I hadn't been saved very long, and some of the young men I used to run around with, they went to one of my very closest friends. They said, what's up with Brian? What's up with Brian? He's different. And my friend told him, he said, well, I really can't explain it, but he's changed. Whatever has happened to him, he's a different man. Praise God. You know, you can't come into the presence of the Lord and not be changed. Salvation is a life-altering experience. Oh, the peace and the joy. Praise God. I think I'm going to stop right there. The Lord has been so good to me. I remember one day just sitting and meditating on the Lord and his goodness and thinking about all the blessings and all the healings of things that I have gone through or my family's gone through. And I just said it out loud. I said, Lord, I owe you my life. I owe you my life. Take it, use it, it's yours. Amen. You pray for me.